Time Thieves. Guten Tag, hallo und ganz herzlich willkommen zur Sonderausgabe des Leben führen Podcast. Sonderausgabe hatte ich am Montag kurz erwähnt, dass es heute eine Spezialausgabe gibt. Warum? Weil heute der 1.8.2018 ist und heute die reguläre Anmeldephase für die IT Youngstars starten. Das IT Youngstars Programm läuft ein Jahr und ist ausgerichtet auf junge IT-Führungskräfte. Und jung meint hier nicht das Baujahr, sondern jung meint hier, wie lange sie schon in Führung in IT sind und, das ist der zweite Take, für Leute, die in Führung wollen im Bereich IT. Und jetzt hatte ich eine ganze Handvoll Gespräche und eine Handvoll Skype-Sessions in den letzten paar Wochen, während die Early-Bird-Phase gelaufen ist. Und es ist oft die Frage gekommen, ja, wir verstehen das, wir können auf leben-führen.de sehen und lesen, wie der Aufbau vom IT Youngstars Programm ist. Aber kannst du uns mal ein Beispiel geben? Und jetzt habe ich mir die Episode rausgesucht, von der ich glaube, dass sie für den allgemeinen Leben führen Podcast am wertvollsten ist. Und es ist gleichzeitig die Episode, auf die es aus der Youngstars Community letztes Jahr das beste Feedback gab. Es geht darum, ihnen den Tag länger zu machen. Also es gibt, das ist für mich ein Kondensat aus allem, was aus meiner Sicht zum Thema mit diesem großen Begriff Time Management, was da so drunter schwebt. Und zwar gebe ich Ihnen jetzt diese ganzen Punkte, also in der Episode gebe ich die Punkte und wie Sie die wirklich dann im wirklichen Leben umsetzen können. Ja, die Beispiele sind ein bisschen IT-lastig, klar, weil es ist eine Live-IT-Youngstars-Episode aus dem letzten Jahr. Sie sind aber dennoch für alle anderen genauso anwendbar. So, jetzt ein kleiner Disclaimer. Es ist die originale Episode, wie ich gesagt habe. Und natürlich sitzt die originale Episode im Youngstars-Programm eingebettet in einem Curriculum. Also das heißt, es wird in der Episode auf vorherige Episoden verwiesen, die sie jetzt nicht haben. Gut, das tut mir sehr leid. Es wird in der Mitte sehr viel auf die Kommunikationsstile verwiesen. Und die Kommunikationsstile hatte ich hier im Leben führen Podcast schon mal intensiv besprochen, und zwar in den Episoden 88, 89 und 128. Also wenn Sie wollen, dann gehen Sie jetzt auf leben-führen.de/episode 205. Da habe ich Ihnen die drei Episoden verlinkt. Da können Sie sich dann so ein bisschen nochmal über die Kommunikationsstile aufschlauen. Oder Sie gehen hier auf Ihren Player und fahren einfach bis zu 88 zurück. Das geht auch. So, und damit geht's jetzt auch schon los. Hello, hello, my fellow youngster. Welcome back in the IT Youngstars Podcast. You're not confused. This is nearly the same title as the IT Youngstars 23 episode, the episode from last week, which was called Your Time. And this time, I've added a question mark behind it. Because after the focus of 23 of the last episode was that you become more and more aware of what you do with your time. So the main exercise was that you start with a time tracking. And this episode is, I will start this with the biggest time traps and time thieves. And then we go, in the middle part, the middle part is a bit, you know me, when I call it's evil, then it means that it's about you. And at the very end, I have a proposal on, let's call it the proposal for you to make time. So let's jump right into it. The biggest time traps and time thieves. This is, I've found a ton of, let's say, headlines online and in my brain and in my documents and everywhere. And I don't want to now list up a kind of an endless bullet point list, so I've given this a little bit of a structure, and I'm on 30 points or something like that. We're not going through each and every point, but I want to give you some of the time trap headlines, because some of the stuff that you experience the whole day, you may not recognize. The famous "don't ask a fish about the water" saying, that's exactly that. If you, and I know what I'm talking about because I've been there, have 8 meetings a day, each somewhat, give or take, an hour, and you do that for 2 years, then you think this is usual. This is the normal day. Well, now I know it is normal in some companies, in some organizations, but this is nothing that you want to have because this is completely reactive behavior. So the biggest time traps and time thieves lists now tries to open your eyes for the transparent water that you may be swimming in. And I just go through it. I give you the headline and then I give you some ideas on that. Some we put together, some are connected to each other, so let's jump right into it. So the first big category is the time traps and time thieves that are mainly caused by the organization itself. And well, no surprise, the first and the biggest time trap ever is the bad habit of not having objectives, not having priorities, not having a plan. And this very often is institutionalized. And when you then look to the people and look how they work, and especially we in IT, we are very famous for that, then everybody is so busy, we don't have time to make objectives. I mean, this is, you know, this is for the, I don't know, departments. But we are busy, we are working, we are hardcore ITler. No! Not having objectives, not having explained, spoken, and understood objectives. Organization with no goals is just a dead organization. It's just a waste of time. So if your organization, if you do not take the time, or your manager doesn't, or your leader doesn't take the time to share the organization, the organizational goals with everybody, sorry to say, but this is the best, the biggest mistake that everybody makes, because nobody knows what to do. You will find this very often connected with a lack of responsibility. Well, not a big surprise. If an organization has no goals, then how you can separate responsibilities? A very good signal for that is that everybody has to invite tons of people for any decision that has to be made. No, we need to have the server guys in the room. Oh, we need to have the InfoSec people on top. Oh, we need to have the compliance folks there. Oh, well, isn't that a question where we need to put HR in? Ooh. Yes, lots of organizations work like this, but they do not work like this. They exist like this. It's not that they are effective and working. This is all connected to each other. If the head of an organization has no clue and has no idea about, and this is not meant negative, you know, some of those people simply do not know that this could be the solution. If they do not share objectives, priorities, and all of that, an idea with the organization, yeah, then you have no choice of, you cannot give it, or then this is the one of the big time burners. You as a leader, in my world, are in the responsibility of give this to your organization so that you avoid that same behavior. And you know my opinion on that, if you haven't been given useful objectives and you have no clue what the goals are, it's your responsibility to create some for your organization. It always works. So crisis management is a very big time thief, and this is somehow all amalgamated to each other. This is the ambulance driving and the fire department's idea of the last episode. I like that statement, fortuity is the absence of management. And I know everybody in IT is just now standing up and saying, hey, we cannot foresee when the server goes down. Yeah, absolutely, we can't foresee when stuff goes bang, but it's not about that the server goes down. It's always about that the service goes down. And here we have a huge variety of stuff that we can do. It's not that a little piece breaks. It is that nobody thinks about that this piece can break beforehand. Then everybody needs to deal with the consequences. And from the outside or from the inside, it may look like we deal with a failed server or a failed network, you know, just whatever it is. But from the outside, it looks like nobody has taken the time to think about what happens if this particular piece of stuff goes down. This is the problem, not that the server goes down. Lack of responsibility we had. Oh, bureaucracy, my favorite one. Bureaucracy is the biggest time killer of them all. Some of the bureaucracy is forced into organizations from the, let's call them, government. Some is just simply self-made because we've done this since ever and this is the reason why we just do it. Insufficient tools and rooms, I've mentioned last time. Disturbance Disturbance is a very big time killer. Disturbance by people who come to your desk. Disturbance by your so-called social media. Facebook, Twitter and all this crap. Disturbance by phone. Disturbance by email. And all of that, and we come to some ideas of that later. Disturbance by noise. To me, this goes a little bit together with the lack of, or with the insufficient rooms. When you sit in a big office with other people, and you need to have your silent time to think about stuff, well, then don't be surprised that this may not work in a big office where it's a bit noisy. So this is a big time killer. I'm just saying, you are not, your butt is not nailed to the chair. Go somewhere else. Stay home if you need to do reasonable work, if you need to have your silent hour. Bad documentation system. And this is meant you and your company. It's a big time killer when you always need to search for the documents that you have to have for your work now. And you can even add this to, or you can extend this to bad information management system. This can be the document that are, you know, somewhere spread around on file servers, SharePoints and wikis and what have you. But it can even be that you search for the same information that's the second time because you haven't managed your own sorting system properly. One of my first pieces of software that I bought was a heavy metal powerful search engine for Outlook. The tool is called X1. I think they still exist, but the Outlook search engine crawled up and up and up. I think it's now on a good level, but X1 is still, in my world, the best investment that I made into my time. Yes, it was privately bought, not owned by the company. And if you now say this is not worth the 50 euros, or I don't know, your problem. So we have another one. It's always the extremes. Too many information on the one hand, and a lack of information. Both are time killers. You know how to keep people uninformed? You send them you send them an avalanche of information. Nobody reads it, nobody can understand it, because two-thirds of the information that you're given is just useless for what you do, so you don't read the 25% that could be useful. So not enough and too many information. Those are the two sides of the coin, which are big time traps and time thieves. Same, funnily enough, for standards or for controls. Having too many controls, too many standards, then you're not developing anything. Then you're just only having a look and check if you don't break any of those. On the other hand, if you develop in a vacuum, and develop doesn't necessarily mean software development, but just dealing with stuff, and you have no clue what controls are, your organization, your boss, hasn't given any standards out, yeah, well, then you do not know what's right or wrong. So both can be very, very good time thieves and somewhat invisible time thieves. Not accessible people. That swings a little bit together with responsibility. If you can't progress because that person isn't there, then something is wrong with the responsibility chain. Because if that person is not there, and I'm now talking about this person is just busy with other stuff, or is just not attending, I'm not talking about this person is sick off, and this person is responsible for something that you are responsible for, then something is wrong in the hierarchy chains. So meetings in general are a time thief, but this point or this topic is so huge. Go back and listen to the podcast episodes about that. Or if you want, just write me, then I can make a dedicated episode on this. So that was the highlights or the high-level topics of organizational caused time traps. And some of them are not really blamable for the organization because, you know, I think organizations do not exist. It's always people that exist. And yeah, well, exactly. You are one of the people. And now let's go for some topics that are really, really, really sorry to say, but these are in your responsibility. And the first one is the best one. This is the red thread. Can we say that? Yeah, the red thread that goes through people's life, and that's the lack of self-discipline. This is the biggest thing. There is no successful leader out there ever, hasn't been, and will never be, which really lacks self-discipline. This job can be funny as you make it, but there are hard times and you need to go through them. And it's not that you have just, you know, 8 hours of laughing every day. Some days you have, but others you haven't. And the others you need to perform as well because you're paid for it as well. So lack of self-discipline is the central thing that is, right onto your lap. Another thing, and this is maybe carefully for you to have a look at, is doing too many things at the same time. We know, regardless of what some magazines claim, we know that the brain works sequentially. One thing, another thing, another thing, another thing. You cannot do stuff in parallel. It's impossible that you listen to something on your headphones and that you write something. You will not write. You will just switch and switch and switch and switch. You will only write when you do not listen. So, disturbing yourself with always checking this Facebook shit is a lack of self-discipline. This makes you unsuccessful. This is a time trap. Don't do it. The ability to deny. We have it, and we have spoken about the communication styles. We have it so often in the relators realm. Can you please help me? Yes, sure. No. Successful people say no to everything apart from the 10% of good opportunities for them. Next one is delay and travel. Let's sort them out. Delays is you wait for something that you couldn't foresee. Like the meeting should start at 0:00 and the first people attend at 5:05. So you have a delay. My hint, but we're not talking about meetings. Delays is time killer. If I know this from so many old companies, especially from elderly managers, I have the power to let them wait. Yeah, well, then do the math. I mean, 6 people in a room and you come 10 minutes too late, then you burn an hour. A complete hour is just burned and gone only to show who's the boss. This is useless. This is garbage. The other thing is travel. Travel has to do with tons of delays. I'm thinking about just changing the transportation media, worst case is airport, which is a sequence of delays. But travel is a little bit more predictable, so you can plan your stuff in. So if you are queuing up in the airport and you know that you have to, I don't know, behind security, you have to stay an hour or so, da-di-da, put stuff into your list that you can do in that hour. So this is not, that's why I call travel delays a little bit more predictable, at least in my world. So unfinished tasks, a huge thing, unfinished tasks. Done beats perfect. I don't know who said that, but this is the case. I see so many task lists where you have those zombie tasks. They are, you know, this 95% finished project. Yeah, we only just need to do the QA, and you know, this button should be green, and we only need to put the server into the monitoring system. But no, finish it. Kill zombies. Shoot them down. Unfinished tasks are good for nothing. You're not earning the glory for finishing this task. You're piling stuff up into your task list. Worst thing, or even worse, you pile the stuff up into your memories. Your brain is a creative factory. It's not a warehouse. So finish tasks down, no matter what it costs. So another thing that's connected to lack of self-discipline is private communication. And our relators folks are a bit in danger of that. Private communication about kids and holiday and whatever it is and what have you. I'm not talking about that we go into the office to not communicate a word privately. I'm talking about that private communication very easily can become a time consumer, a time burner. Have an eye on it. If it's not your piece of cake, okay. But if you write it down and you see it in your time tracking, what you've done, and private communication with all types of folks, it's a big thing. Then you know what you have to do. The inability to listen. Very, very, very often seen in the director's side of things. Director is a person who talks and who doesn't give a freak about other people's feelings. So, directors talk. Why is that a time trap? Yeah, well, because you never get a feedback. You talk. The others just leave the room only to just have you stop talking. And you ask, everything understood? And they say, yes, sure. Yes, boss. They disappear. They haven't understood anything. They have not had the time to ask because you don't listen. You didn't feel or even heard the answers. So the inability to listen is a little bit a burner of communication, and communication burner in the negative shape or form. And communication is the main thing that we have as leaders. So undecided, the ability to not decide. This can have several causes, and I'm not going into the details of that. And it can be your boss, and it can be yourself. So a good decision takes time, yes. And there is a big difference of collecting information and thinking about a decision rather than just simply diddling around and not deciding anything. There's a huge difference that you can see it from the outside. Hunting for all facts. That's a very good one for the analytical people in the room. Leadership doesn't work with all facts, sorry to say, but making a decision with having all facts is that's, you know, that's kids' birthday party. Everybody can do that. That's stupid and that's simple. So this is not how leadership works. Leadership, the expectation to leadership is make a decision, a good decision, with not having all information. Not because we are too lazy to gather those informations, but because simply those informations are not there. Apple had no information at all that the iPhone works. I mean, information in terms of facts. So don't waste too much time on hunting all facts. And as I said, especially the people who are in the analytics world are very attackable by that. Something for the directors, for the expressors, spontaneous decisions. An average spontaneous decision is a bad decision. You can really say that. Is that true in every case? No. If a decision has to be made within your realm of expertise, then even a spontaneous decision can be a very good decision because you're trained for that decision for the last 10, 20, whatever years. But lots of people who call themselves leaders make spontaneous decision because of their own glory, because they are awesome leaders and they know stuff and it's in their genome set. The difference between a fast decision based on experience and a spontaneous decision based on nothing apart self-confidence is the result. So spontaneous decisions means a decision based on no facts. If your experience, if that's your field of expertise, if that's your theater, then a fast decision is not a spontaneous decision because it's based on facts. So spontaneous decisions are just, you know, I'm the boss and I can decide. Not enough delegation is the last killer because that burns down your own time. You are, but we're coming to that in a minute. So another time trap topic, and this is a hot one, and hot one means it's something that's politically maybe not correct, but it's your people. It's your employees. A huge time burner is a not motivated team, is a not coordinated team. When you have people, employees in your team who doesn't give a freak about what you say, well, at least in Germany, you can't fire them from today to tomorrow. You have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. And here's the good thing. It's your bad. People are not demotivated because of the sunshine is just not right. People are demotivated because the boss behaves like not a motivating person. So if you have motivating people, you have the high probability that you can change it because you are the problem. I like when you are the problem because then you are the solution as well. This is what you can change. Maybe even you can change the team, not the people, but you just change the leadership position. And then on the next leadership position, you behave differently. So that's possible. But don't allow that your team sucks, because this is a pain in the backside. It's a huge time killer. And I really mean it like that. It's not that the people don't want to. It's usually that you made something wrong. There is a small piece of insufficient employees. People who do not, can't, or are just overwhelmed by the new technologies, or just simply are wrong in the position, get rid of them. Sorry to say, but get rid of them. Move them into a position where they are sufficient, and I don't care how long they have been in the company. Not enough or too many employees. Not enough, I think we all can imagine. Not too many employees? What's that?
Sorry to say, but especially IT, very often you have too many employees.
That's not visible, especially not for the manager, because lots of people think the more people I run, the higher is my might, the more mighty I am. No, it's not true. The more people you have, the more you need to take care of. So keep your people level, keep your staff level as small as even possible. The cheaper your organization gets, the more effective you have to work. Employees with personal problems can be really a big pain point. Well, not a pain point, but can be a good big time consumer, especially when you are a relator and when you take care about your people, as I do. And then you have this person who's just, you know, in the middle of the divorce, da-di-da-di-da-di-da. I understand all of that, but here we are on the list of time traps and time thieves. Those people can be very big time traps, and they can be time thieves for your organization. When you have an organization where everybody cares about everybody and one is just in the middle of this classical divorce thing, then we make a guess of how the performance of your team goes. Fluctuation and sickness just completes this list of stuff that you can have. And as I said, this is not meant of people are problems. This is meant, open your eyes. If you have a big time trap within your organization, within your people, then maybe this is one of them. So I know we are late in time, but that was worth it, I think. Next point is the evil one for you, at least side. Sorry to say, but your time consumption starts with a decision from you. Let's do the trivial one. Do you want to be a technician or do you want to be a manager? Do you want to be a manager or do you want to be a leader? No matter where you are in the org chart, in the hierarchy, in the current hierarchy of your company, it starts with your decision. It's nothing wrong when you say, I want to be a technician, but then step back and make way for the person who wants to be a leader or who wants to be a manager. Are you more active? Are you more reactive? I know, reactive is very, very, very easy. Active is the complicated part. So that's the reason why most organizations are reactive. But reactive is exactly that. It just follows what happens in the world. It's not that you change the world. Make some decisions. I think three decisions you have to make in any cases as early as possible and then stick to it. Number one, how do you want to be accessible? Accessible means, how do you want to be accessible via mail, via physical contact, via phone, via those so-called social networks, via what is your, how do people get you? Do you pick up the phone everywhere? I know people who just pick up phone even when the number is unknown. I don't do this since 10 years or so. Do you have your email address on your answering machine saying, I will not call you back, but write me an email? How do you deal with social networks? Do you answer within minutes on social networks? And I mean you, not your robot. This is a decision that you have to make. And it's this decision that you have to make. I'm impressed by people who answer within 5 minutes. But on the other hand, then I think, well, it's only me. I'm not the emperor of the world. Why do you answer that fast? You have nothing else to do? So there is nothing right or wrong, but there is a decision for you to be made. How much time you want to invest in socializing? How much? This is the decision that you have to make. Are you the one who is always in the coffee kitchen and talking, and who knows who is just close to the next divorce, to just stick to this example, who was where in vacation? It's nothing right or wrong. It's only your decision that you have to make. There are organizations where a person who has no clue and doesn't give a dime about the employees will never, ever be promoted. I've worked with people, with the leadership staff of such a company. Are they very fast? No, they are not, but they are very, very solid. They have no fluctuation. They work in the social industry anyways, and they are very good in that, and they make lots of money. So that works. Make a decision. Second decision that you have to make, how fast you want to react. And this is a little bit different from the how you want to be accessible. The how you want to be accessible is more what's your preferred channel. In my world, it's all about asynchronous communication. I hate when people call me, because when they call me, they expect that I stop now everything that I do. When my mom calls me, I pick up the phone, no matter what happens with my, and so on. You know, friends and family is a different story, but company, I don't see why I have to queue up when somebody else call, when somebody, no, the other way around. I don't see when we have a meeting and somebody else tells me, oh, sorry, we sit in the same room, I need to pick up this phone. What the fuck? I'm with you now. I'm, should be focused. This is only your decision. Make a decision beforehand. How fast you want to react? Do you have, I even had in the last company, I forced myself into SLAs to my people. I said, okay, I'll answer within 24 hours. Did I make it every time? Sadly enough, not, but I got better. But this is a decision that you have to make. Are you known as the person who answers everything in 5 minutes? Or are you known as the person who just, you know, answers after 24 hours or even later? Answering later is not a bad thing at all, because answering later, be it on emails, on phone calls, or on whatever, allows you to move all of those similar things together. You know, here's this project, and you have those five emails coming in over 2 days, and they are all, well, kind of in the same realm. You need to crawl through the same Excel sheets in the presentations, then you send out those emails, those informations. Not the same information, but you are then in the, your brain is in the same information set, and then you answer those five emails in a row, tick, 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 done. That is my idea behind of not answering immediately, because at least when I was working as head of IT infrastructure, then I had this. I always had this. So that was my decision to saying, okay, no, I don't answer immediately, because half of those emails I answer after a day and they are happy. I answer after 2 days and yeah, it's no difference because nobody cares. So make your decision, and this is a little bit based on your surroundings, but make your decision. So the third one is decide on the quality you deliver. That thing can be hard for the directors and can be very hard for the analytics, but decide on the quality. Do you always want to deliver 100%? I do not recommend that at all. 80% can be achieved in 20% of the time. This is the rule that we know. Is that true in every time? No, it's not, but it's a good guess. So always aim for 80%. And you know, for me, it's very easy. I'm an expressor. This is in our genome set. When I aim for 80%, then most of the analytical people think this is 50% that I'm aiming for. Yeah, well, don't aim for perfection. We do not have time for that. You're usually not getting any reward when you deliver the perfect whatever it is. The world doesn't tick like that anymore. Aim for 80%. Do it in 20% of the time. Just done. Does it come back? You need to go back again on that? Yeah, well, okay. Know your customers. If you have this picky boss and she or he wants to have everything 120%, yeah, well, then deliver 120%. But on average, you deliver 80%. That gives you the time to just make your boss happy. So, the last 5 minutes is under the headline of how to make time. Yes, I can make you time. No, I can't, but here is the process that I recommend you go through for every task that comes along. Number one is sort it. As explained in the last episode, I don't believe in prioritization because then everything lands on priority one. I only believe in forced rankings, and I really mean it, forced rankings. Every task has one cell. Sort it, number one. Number two, eliminate it. Every task that comes along has to, you aim for, shoot it down and not execute it. Ask what would happen if you wouldn't do it. Ask who wants to have it done. Is it you or is it someone else? And if it's someone else, then just try to shove it back to somebody else's desktop. Don't allow that everybody pukes its monkeys onto your desk. This is not how you become successful. So after you've sorted it, and it has now the right level of your attention, you try to eliminate it. Ignoring is one of the elimination points. Giving it back is one of the elimination points, but I really mean eliminate it. Do not do it.
If that's not an option, try to automate it.
Automated doesn't mean, and we are now IT folks, doesn't mean that you just do some wee programming and you script it down and you just create a program and you just, you know, buy this software as a service thing which you then can connect it and that. No. Automation is much simpler. Automated can mean you write down how the process works. Everybody has a problem with the tasks who come along once a year, and I'm talking about the annual goals definition now. There is a reason why I have in the team objectives challenge this one task that only deals with how do your tools work. And I want that the people automate it. It's not that you automate the tool itself, but it's that you can automate. This is really poor man's automation. Is you take a file and you write in, okay, this is the tool, click, that's the URL. This is how you log on, click, this is the credentials, and I know what I'm saying. This is the button that you have to click, tick, 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 tick. This is the automation. That was the first thing that I made when we've introduced those funny tools that I have to use only once a year. This is poor man's automation. If you are able to be to automate it, then check if it's worth it. Then even putting it, and then you can automate it. You can really automate it as we think, as we mean automation. But if that's not possible, write it down. Putting stuff in the calendar is a very small piece of automation because then it doesn't get lost. So automation is the second part. If that doesn't work, then try to delegate it. You are a manager, you have a team, you're a leader, you have... And I know we are in the young stars, not everybody here has a team, but try to delegate it. Minimum, and this is something that everybody can do, check who wants the result and then try to push it back onto their desk, into their organization. This is something that everybody can do. I see it so often that IT just has a pile of tasks that really is not... within IT anymore, because it was 15 years ago that the IT folks were the ones who just exchanged, the color in the printers. But sorry to say, this is so trivial nowadays. This is so trivial. Make a piece of paper, write it down. Dear secretary, here's the boxes, just put it there and then, so delegate it. And if all of this, if you can't eliminate the task, if you can't automate the task, and if you can't delegate the task, then sort it again. Because this doesn't mean that a new task is automatically on the first on your list. Then sort it again, then you've tried to shoot it down, then you try to automate it, and you try to give it to somebody else, but it doesn't work, so then it ends up in your execution list. We could talk a while more about delegation, because this is the main thing of leadership. How to delegate stuff to other people. And because this is such a big topic and we are at the end, no, not because we are at the end of the episode, but because this is such a big topic, I will talk next week with Mr. Delegation himself. I have a high-class interview partner for us, and this is how I finish this episode now. Have a great one. He'll read you in the forums and you hear me and us next time. That's Olaf, bye. Das war die Episode aus den IT Youngstars und genau auf dem Niveau laufen die anderen Episoden auch. Natürlich haben wir Führungsthemen, natürlich haben wir auch IT-lastige Führungsthemen, aber das gab ihnen, glaube ich, mal so ein kleine, so eine Idee, was da auf die Youngstars zukommt. Und wie gesagt, das IT Youngstars Programm ist ein bisschen anstrengend, ist nur für die Leute, die Führung in IT ernst nehmen, die in Führung in IT wollen, die in Führung in IT frisch sind, oder? Die in Führung in IT schon ein bisschen länger sind und die mal ein bisschen was, sagen wir mal, sich noch mal so ein bisschen rundum besohlen wollen. Also wir haben Geschäftsführer in den IT Youngstars, die schon lange dabei sind und die einfach sagen, ach komm, weißt du, ich will einfach mal dieses eine Jahr, Olaf, mit dir zusammen noch mal einfach mein ganzes Grundwissen, was ich schon irgendwie so habe, noch mal so ein bisschen auf den Prüfstand stellen. Dieses Jahr wird es in den IT Youngstars auch noch eine Menge Aufgaben geben. Ich mag da noch ein bisschen, also dieses Jahr wird es noch ein kleines bisschen wirksamer werden, weil wir einfach neben den ganzen Audios und neben dem ganzen visuellen Content, den es gibt, auch noch mit Aufgaben arbeiten werden. So, okay, also wie gesagt, wer mag IT Youngstars, nur für die Leute, die es ernst meinen, alles weitere auf leben-führen.com und damit belasse ich es auch für heute. Nächsten Montag geht's weiter. Ich wünsche Ihnen eine großartige Zeit. Tschüss, Ihr Olaf Kapinski.